Hello everybody and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Unique Life Starring You. This show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/younique.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here is your host of Unique, Susan Stackpole.
Thanks so much, Corey, and thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Unique Life Scarring You. It's all about you and for you, and we are what we are because of you. So thank you so much for joining us. We'd especially like to welcome any of our new listeners, and we have a special project that we do here at Unique called Pray It Forward. And basically what that is, that there are disconcerting news and things like that in the media, and there are studies that show that prayer and loving thoughts and good energy really make a difference. And so we ask that when you see those things, that you just take a minute and say a prayer or send some loving energy, and we feel that brings peace and love into the world and makes it an all-around better place. And so thank you so much for that. We have a very special guest with us this evening that I'm really excited to introduce her to you. She's got a lot of great information to help all of us live our best lives. Her name is Dr. Doris Helge, and you may have seen her interviewed on the Today Show, CNN, NPR, and the like. She is author of Amazon.com's #1 bestsellers like Joy on the Job, Transforming Pain into Power, and Conquer Your Inner Critic. She is a master certified coach, coach trainer, and teleclass leader, and she's helped thousands of people just like you and me claim more success and happiness. Doris previously served as a master certified coach and mentor coach as a faculty at universities in Washington, Texas, and Kentucky. She also directed national organizations. She's consulted, coached, and presented at corporations as large as Microsoft. And today, Doris works by phone and Skype with clients all over the world. Please visit Doris's website, coachingbydoris.com, and check out the video section to see videos about Doris's best-selling books. And you can also download free ebooks at www.freejoyebooks.com. And thank you so much for joining us this evening. Doris, we're delighted to have you with us.
Oh, I am so excited about working with you. I love your energy. We're going to have a great time.
We are, and the feeling certainly is mutual, Doris. I'm just so excited for all the great information that you're going to bring to help us all live as our authentic selves and live our best lives.
Let's do it.
All right. I love
it. And have fun doing it.
I was
going to
say,
thing.
Party here at Unique tonight.
Yes, you betcha.
That's right. Doris, for those who may be being introduced to you for the first time, please share with us a little bit about where you started and how you got to be interested in human behavior and self-development and all that sort of thing, because to have a PhD, that's a big commitment of resources and time and energy and all that sort of thing.
It is a big commitment, but, you know, I think life is a huge commitment for all of us, and I think sometimes we find that we're not fully committed to be all that we really are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, I have degrees. I've honestly learned a lot more from living life and working with people than I'll ever learn in any degree program. And I feel so strongly about that. You know, we're all teachers for each other. We're all students for each other.
Oh, I love that. I think that's a really significant point that I think we forget sometimes when we, sometimes especially if we have difficult situations that may be showing up in our lives, that that we may be the teacher or we may be the student or we could be both at that particular time.
Yeah, honestly, I think we're always both. I really do. I think the universe is so precise the way it works. And when I catch myself judging life or thinking this isn't fair or this shouldn't be this way, I always have to take a step backwards. Like, you know, Doris, what are you supposed to be learning here? Somebody's teaching you something if you want to learn.
I like that a lot, Doris. I think that that's a really excellent point. And maybe you could elaborate a little bit on that, because especially in recent years, so many people have gone through some really trying, challenging situations where it just feels like the world is sort of caving in on their shoulders, and they're trying to do everything, quote unquote, the right way, and it just doesn't make sense. What advice would you offer for our listeners who may really be going through a hard time, feeling like, oh, life isn't fair, and why is this happening, and all that sort of thing?
I think it's so important for us to discover who we really are. Some of us don't honestly know that because we've been programmed to be someone different from birth onward, and I think there's a significant value in walking through that first part of your life when you're told, you know, you have to be this or that, because otherwise you might not have a basis of comparison. And I'm being really serious about that, although tonight's playful. We live in a world of polarities, day, night, hot, cold, dark, light, you know, all those kind of polarities. And if I lived at the equator and I never really knew what cold was, I wouldn't have a frame of reference to appreciate heat and vice versa, and to know what I wanted when. Mm. So there's a reason for all of our experiences. You know, I love what I heard you say about pray it forward and to send loving energy, because there is so much social programming today. It just seems to me like it's almost geared to keep people in fear. And in truth, we live in this one of the most joyful times in the universe. The earth is evolving. We're evolving. We can have as much fun as we want to. It's all a matter of perspective. And so, yes, some things really aren't any fun. Some things are very, very difficult for all of us. And yet when we back up and we go, what am I supposed to be learning here? Or, wow, I wonder what I can learn. We're more like a two-year-old toddling around a brand new playground. It's colorful. We're excited. It's like, you know, what is there to play with here and there? It's the judgment that holds us back. And what moves us forward is this intense curiosity that in itself is playful. I wonder what this experience is really like.
I like what you just said about judgment holding us back, and this idea that curiosity sort of propels us forward, and about this idea of asking, what can I learn in this situation? Because then I think you go from being a victim to being a victor, where you're using it for you instead of feeling like it's happening to you or happening against you.
Right. And see, I can talk very freely about that because I spent so many years in the first part of my life playing the role of victim. And I think I would categorize myself as a professional victim playfully now because I just didn't know any better. Right. And when I really got it, my gosh, these are incredible learning experiences. Look what you're learning. Look at how it helps you help people, and how you're more compassionate, and how you can see things very, very quickly and easily now, then all the judgment went away. Mm. So the easiest way for anyone listening who's struggling with feeling like a victim is to back up and say, okay, I get to teach someone about this by walking through it myself, which means I can be as powerful as I allow myself to be. We're really programmed not to be powerful. We're programmed to think that we have to do things when 99% of what we do is by choice, particularly as we become young adults and so forth, and then into adulthood. There's so much choice. You know, it's like wake up to the choices around us, and then we're just so enamored and excited by this playground, this amazing journey that we call life, that we forget to judge. Remember the stories that are true about Thomas Edison, how he worked on developing the incandescent light bulb for over 10,000 tries?
Yes, I do. That's one of my favorite, favorite stories, especially when they asked him, to talk about it. And they said, I figured out, 10,000 ways how not to make a light bulb. And he spun it in a very sort of positive way that each time took him closer to his goal.
And for him, it was so far beyond spinning. That's what I adore about those true stories. He really was that curious kid on the playground. He had no judgment. Reporters would come in and they'd say, "You're crazy. Why don't you give up? This isn't going to happen." And he just didn't pay any attention. It wasn't that he was purposely trying to program himself. He just was curious. He was just overwhelmed with curiosity. And when you're curious, there's no room for judgment. It absolutely cannot coexist with curiosity.
Isn't that interesting? Doris, what do you think happens that so many of us, especially as adults, life becomes a chore after, oh, I have to go to work, and I have to pay my bills, and I have to do this, and we lose a lot of that curiosity, or what happens is, whereas, say, like six-year-olds, and that's something that's fascinated me for a long time, young kids are up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're up, they get the sun up, and hey, let's go play, and let's go explore the world. And then somewhere along the way, that the what if, in terms of it being a positive, ooh, what if I find a secret cave today or whatever, becomes fearful as adults of, well, what if I love again and I get hurt? Or what if I go for this particular opportunity and it doesn't work out? Where does that shift come from that playful childlike what if to the fearful adult what if? And how do we get our curiosity back, especially if we feel like that's not even really our nature anymore?
Well, some of it literally is social programming. You know, you're taught that when you're drawing things in school, that grass has to be green and flowers have to be certain kinds of colors, and things just aren't any other way. And so there comes the point that you're saying, okay, there's a right way and a wrong way. I want to get a certain grade, or I want to get my allowance by pleasing my parents, or whatever it happens to be. So, again, some of it's social programming. Some of it, though, is as we develop, our left brain starts taking over a more predominant part of our life. And that's why a lot of my work is about integrating the left and the right brain and really enjoying the holistic nature that we're here on Earth to enjoy. Some of it is nature versus nurture. You know, nature literally speaks to us from day one, or in the womb, actually. You know, be yourself. You're different. You're going to shine. You're going to change the world around you by just being you, because you're unique and special, and you're hardwired with a certain DNA to give a certain gift to the world. And then nurturing, which we're speaking of right now, whether it's schools, parents, or whatever, it's, now, wait a minute, you have to fit in. You need to protect yourself if you're going to survive. You mentioned a moment ago that we don't want to get hurt. So there is a degree of it that this natural development as the left brain becomes more powerful, and also as we do start protecting ourselves from becoming hurt because we have more experience in life. And yet now, my gosh, you know, now we're these amazing adults with all these choices. So we get to reprogram and rewire and decide, okay, what's really worth protecting against and what is much more fun? To be open and vulnerable. For example, you mentioned the idea about love. You know, the choices include, I can be loved again once I've been hurt, or I can discover what love is for the first time, maybe I didn't know that, or I can just shrink away from love and lose all the hugs and all the intimacy and, you know, all the things that come from deeply knowing another person and being vulnerable enough to allow them to know us. So it's a choice. Unfortunately, most of us don't make it that consciously. We just get an owie, and we run away and kind of nurture our owie without coming back and thinking, okay, what is the likelihood, if you want to use the left brain, that I can learn to do it differently next time?
And I think that that's such an excellent point, Doris, because I think that that's what happens is, I was actually having a conversation with someone this week about how easy it is, and this is something I've been becoming more conscious of in my life, of that one experience doesn't mean it's the whole experience, meaning that if you have a job that maybe was not the right fit for you or something like that, it might not have been something you really enjoyed, that's not going to be the experience for every job, that's the experience for that job. And so I think sometimes what happens, though, is we transfer it, and especially like with relationships and that sort of thing, we make it the whole experience, and it makes it difficult sometimes for people to believe that they can have a different experience than what they had before. What advice would you offer up for people that just are really having a hard time getting past, as you said, an owie in a particular part of their life that they just don't feel it's possible for them to have a good experience in that area, or they just can't visualize that for themselves? What advice would you offer them, Doris?
Okay, first of all, be aware of social programming. Be aware that people unintentionally are constantly programming you, whether it's the media, whether it's friends with the highest intention who are programming you with their own motivations in mind, because unfortunately none of us are pure, and even when we give our best friends advice, there's something in it for us. Sometimes it's, I'm going to keep you the same because I like you are, even if there's some problem things going on between us, I know what to expect from you, and so I can predict it. A second thing is just to make a decision no longer to people please. Discover who you are. If you stop people-pleasing, you will invariably discover the star that you are, and you'll stop being a star trying or struggling to fit into a round or a square hole. You already know it doesn't work, and that's why when I'm saying that, I can just feel some of you going, ooh, I've been doing that. I literally can feel some people sensing that. Yeah.
Yes. For anyone just joining us, we are here with Doris Halge, PhD, and please visit Doris's website, www.coachingbydoris/communication. She has some great videos on there to help with communication and some of the things that we're talking about now. And thank you so much for being with us, Doris. It's just so delightful to have you here.
It's fun. It is so fun.
Doris, let's talk a little bit more about what you just touched on. I think people-pleasing is such a significant issue for a lot of us. I know in myself that that was something that it actually took me having some health issues to take a look at in my life and really recognize how much it had become actually part of my identity, that it's you know, that the sort of good, obedient girl, like, is well-liked, and so if you're people-pleasing, people definitely tend to like you, and sharing some of what you had said about how that maybe not conflicts, however, maybe it interrupts the expression of the authentic self. How can people figure out, number one, if they are people-pleasing, and number two, how can they shift out of that into more of their authentic selves?
Okay. First of all, it's not that hard to discover if you're people-pleasing. You mentioned health issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's so, so related for so many people. So you just tune into your gut, and you check in and say, hey, gut, how are you doing today? Are you happy with what I'm doing? And your gut will give you a clue, or maybe that lump in your throat, maybe an uneasy feeling in your heart. Some people's legs shake. But really tune into your body. Your body's an incredible source of wisdom, always feeding you information. And so then when you say, okay, I've discovered that I'm people-pleasing, I'd rather be the star that I've designed myself to be on Earth, and I know it takes a lot of courage to do this, but I'm going to take a little step now and then another little step later, getting feedback each leg of the journey and discovering that it really is safe for me to be totally me. I'm going to discover the authentic support group for me as my authentic self. Most of the time, that's people who are also working on similar issues, and they're open about it. So it's a lovely, lovely way to have a true and accurate friendship when you can bare your soul with someone. Again, starting small, you don't want to make a big leap until you know you can trust the person. And say things like, you know, I'm really working on being more authentic. What do you think? And 99% of the time, because we tend to be human mirrors for each other, they will say, wow, this is great because I'm working on the same issue. We can talk about what works for us and what doesn't. That's just a small example. It's when that tune is rumbling around in our consciousness, and that tune is, I need to be accepted, you know, that's when we have those people-pleasing behaviors. And you just know It's from a feeling of insecurity. It's from a lack of self-respect, which is fine. Please don't judge yourself for it. Anyone who's listening, we've all been there, and sometimes we still go there. But what it does, it wastes our time. It wastes our energy when we struggle to be who we think someone else expects us to be. And here's the real crippler. Please hear this. When you do this, you think you're winning if the other person appears to like you for the person that you're appearing to be. It's not even true. They don't know who you are. How can they like you if you're not being authentic? So it's very conditional approval, which is not what you want, and it's certainly not authentic friendship or work relationship, because, I mean, I've coached so many people who want a relationship, and they're real clear what they want, and yet they struggle by trying to appear to be someone they're not when they're attracting someone. The person who's waiting for them to show up so they can attract them can't even find them because they're not being authentic. And so you're showing, those of you who are listening, you know you're doing this, you're showing up in a purple outfit when really green is your color. And green, in this case, I'm just speaking symbolically. But I like green. Green's all about symbolic for growing.
Right,
a growing
exactly.
Person, heart-centered, those are both green. And you get the gist of where we're going. So, you know, it's a reliable recipe for failure when you people please. Even if you could please the other person, because you're not being who you really are, you'll never get anything that's authentic approval. It will be conditional. And sooner or later, usually at an extremely inconvenient time, the facade will crumble. It's like the emperor who had no clothes on.
Yes,
and child said, you know, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on.
Right, absolutely. And one thing I know that I learned, Doris, and this I'm sure is something you can vouch to as well, that when you shift out of people-pleasing into being more authentic, the beautiful thing is that then your no really means no, and your yes really means yes. So especially when you're saying yes to someone, maybe they're inviting you to a party or they're asking for your help or that sort of thing, it's a much more meaningful, deeper exchange than before, and you're able to be fully present, at least speaking for myself, instead of being in your head going, oh, why didn't I commit to this? And, you know, I've got XYZ that I'd like to get finished at home. And so you're really able to be more fully present in the moment and enjoy your life as opposed to feeling like you're being pulled in many different directions. Would you say that that's a fair assessment?
You bet. You said it eloquently. And the people with the highest self-esteem are authentic and like Thomas Edison. You know, it's okay if you don't agree with me. It's okay if you don't like me or what I'm doing. I like me. I like what I'm doing. You know, when you start studying famous people, really eloquent, beautiful, authentic role models, they all reached a point where they decided, this is who I am, world, take it or leave it. I'm not saying they weren't tactful, because they were, but they were very clear who they were and who they weren't.
I like that a lot, because I think a lot of us sort of struggle with that. It is in terms of not necessarily knowing, however, sort of owning that and sort of saying, yeah, I'm going to own that, and this is who I am, or having the courage to explore it if we don't feel like we know, and sort of looking into that. And I know, Doris, sometimes I'll have the opportunity to talk to people, and they feel like they're very confused sometimes about what is their authentic self or what isn't their authentic self. And an example that comes to mind, and maybe this is something to which you can speak or offer something, that I had a friend of mine that had a possible job opportunity come up, and it meant sort of moving across the country. And the pros and cons sort of weighed out very equally, to the point that she was just sort of confused as to, well, what do I really want and who really am I? And what advice would you offer up? Because I know quite a few people now with the economy and everything that's been going on, they're moving or changing jobs or that sort of thing. There's a lot of change going on. How can people really dial in and answer those questions as to what feels right for them instead of doing, quote-unquote, what they think they should do?
First is to get in touch with your life purpose. when I coach people, we do life purpose exercises, and they become so clear. This is why I'm on this earth. I absolutely know that I'm here to do this, this, and that, and I'm not here to do this and that. So whatever process you use, you've probably known a little bit about your life purpose since you were a toddler. There's some things that have been themes in your life, things you love to do, people you like to interact with. You know, just get really, really clear what your unique skills, strengths, abilities are, and the preferred ways that you want to be present in the world, and I totally do mean present. I mean 100% present. And then secondly, to drop the dichotomous thinking. That's partly what keeps people enslaved. When people are thinking, okay, do I take this job in another part of the country or do I stay here? That's very dichotomous. And there's a lot of gray matter in between that far left and far right of a horizontal line on a piece of paper. When you know your life purpose, you are so clear that you actually attract a very different set of circumstances. Not that everything isn't a learning experience, because it is, but you attract a different level of learning experiences. Your challenges are easier, and you approach them with that lovely observational curiosity we've been talking about. The judgment not only vanishes like a feather in a hurricane about yourself, but about other people, because when you've got that lack of judgment and you've got the curiosity and you're literally using your innate curious witness to observe your path in life, it's like magic. I mean, the most magical opportunities come to you. If you're struggling, I encourage you to identify some role models, because that's one of the reasons that a lot of people are held back. The news media just blasts out poor role models. You know, there's such a almost a hero worship of victimhood in our society.
And helplessness and all that sort of thing. Yes, absolutely. That, and we live in a blame-oriented society, which is very victim-minded. That, well, there's nothing I can do because it was someone else's fault. Mm-hmm. Well, then you're kind of stuck, because obviously, you know, it's a sad place to be, because you just have taken away all your power by believing that.
And, you know, I really want to emphasize that I know firsthand how difficult it is to start taking on your power if you haven't been doing that. I mean, it was really scary for me, and it's been scary for most of the people I've worked with, because mm-hmm. we're all so conditioned to feel helpless and hopeless and blame and, you know, gee, what if it doesn't go well? We don't have a lot of positive role models about authentic power. We have a lot of role models for having power over other people, manipulating them, controlling them. But we have very few role models for the authentic power of someone standing inside themselves and going, I'm very tactfully going to tell the world, take me or leave me, this is who I am. And yet they're there. So I encourage you to identify them and to really understand that it is a journey, the most joyful journey in the world, and yet at some points it's relatively frightening to own your personal power, because there's no course in schools as you're growing up on, okay, here's your personal power, here's how you own it, and you be an authentic person. In fact, we're programmed to be the opposite.
We are. Sit down and be quiet and color inside the lines, and everyone has to know how to do math and get to the answer the same way, and all that sort of thing. And I think that's such an excellent point that you're raising, Doris. For anyone who may just be joining us, we're here with Dr. Doris Helge. Please visit Doris's website, www.coachingbydoris.com. And we're just talking a little more about empowerment. She has a special section, www.coachingbydoris.com/empowerment-class. Definitely check that out, because she's got some more information, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Doris, one of the things you were just mentioning, obviously, is about being empowered and shifting out of victimhood. I can certainly relate to a lot of what you're saying, because that was a transition that that it was something that felt very challenging when I first began looking at that in my own life, and that it felt similar to climbing Mount Everest. And then I found, okay, sort of take it one piece at a time, another piece at a time, another piece at a time. I think one of the toughest things for people who maybe didn't learn what it was to validate themselves growing up, and all the validation was external. I think that that can be a very challenging thing as an adult to kind of to get to a point of saying, okay, world, take me or leave me. I'm comfortable and proud of who I'm being and the choices that I'm making. What suggestion would you offer up, Doris, for people who just feel so dependent on external validation to begin learning what it is to provide their own sort of, to find internal validation so they can build that confidence to make more empowered choices?
One is to let your body be your guide. You know, your body is where you're going to be living for the rest of this lifetime. And so when you keep tuning back into your body, what clues do you have for me today? You develop such a friendship with all the cells and systems and organs and so forth, your judgments totally vanish, and you start really respectfully paying attention to all these amazing clues, and you need so many fewer external clues. You still need some, but you're being so authentic with yourself that you just love all your bumps and bulges and warts and wrinkles, and your inner critic takes a hike. And since you're approving of yourself, you become very immune to negative opinions of other people. So you've got a deep inner peace that you're walking around with, even if other people are throwing verbal spears or harsh looks towards you. You're just like Thomas Edison, like, no, that's their truth, and that's okay. I don't judge them, and I'm sure pleased with myself because I'm having fun. I'm having so much fun being real, being authentic, doing my life purpose, and that we come back again to what is your life purpose. You know, Thomas Edison was very clear. He was an inventor. He was resourceful. He's only one of many role models we could be talking about tonight. But the more you know about you, I want you to take the time just to become the world's leading expert on you. That is not selfish. In fact, that serves the world so much better than playing small. Because it's only when you know your skills, abilities, strengths, your weaknesses, when you really, really understand yourself, can you play the role that you came on Earth to play.
Well, and there's that saying that people are more afraid of their lightness than they are, more afraid of the light in them than the darkness in them, and that I think as human beings we're conditioned sort of to play small. And so I think it's just a matter of sort of expanding our thoughts and especially any sort of beliefs that may have been put on people when they were younger about what does it mean to be abundant or prosperous or successful. Because some people grow up in homes where that's considered to be a very wonderful, valuable, amazing, almost expected sort of thing. And other people grow up with value systems that says, oh, you know, where they saw maybe their parents or people around them criticize people who were successful or wealthy or that sort of thing. And so I think that a lot of what you're saying too is as adults is coming into what do we actually believe versus what were we conditioned to believe? Is it the same or is it different?
You know, one way to answer that question is to just think of a hero or a heroine and close your eyes and get a picture of that person. Notice that they're very different than, quote, ordinary people.
What did they say? No one ordinary ever made history.
There you go. Yeah. You know, and then you can just ask yourself one question. Well, why would I ever want to be normal?
I heard a great quotation the other day.
I mean, we're programmed to be part of a group. That's absolutely true. But we select our heroes because they stand out as larger than life, and they can't stand out larger than life or inspire us unless they're abnormal.
Is interesting for you to bring that up, Doris. I had caught a little bit of a lecture this week by T.D. Jakes, and he was saying all leaders are misfits. He said you can't fit in and lead people all at the same time. So he said all leaders are misfits, and it's exactly aligned with what you're saying about this idea of that it's unique people that are the leaders. And especially if you listen to one person that comes to mind, I think of, is when you listen to sort of Taylor Swift tell a little bit of her story. She started out not really fitting in school, and that's what started her writing songs. And mm-hmm. what if that had not happened? She may yeah. have a whole different life right now. And other people who have been touched by her music may have a whole different life right now. So mm-hmm. I think it speaks very well to what you're saying.
It's so much fun to start looking at the people who've really made a difference on this planet. You know, Einstein was told he would never amount to anything. He was told that he was stupid. He didn't fit in. He didn't even speak until he was about 5 or 6 years old, and then he was eventually put into a job, in a really lowly job in a patent factory, and told he would never amount to anything. He just kept on being curious. He kept on asking himself questions, and he always said, I'm not particularly brighter than anyone else. It's just that I stay with the question longer. So, I mean, if nothing else tonight, start thinking about what questions am I asking myself? Because all of these people, as you said, who have contributed the most to society were, quote, misfits. That doesn't mean you have to be a misfit. You can fit in, but please don't try to be someone you're not. There's a huge difference.
Agree. Like, be who you really are, not just saying that you like something or pretending to be something just for the sake of having a common interest. Like, make sure that it's who you really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So somehow, all of these people, including your hero or heroines, they muster the courage to be different in a society that really, truly does try to tie us up in a little box with a bow on and tell us not to unwrap the bow. And it comes back to life purpose. They are so passionate about living their personal journey. And that means that when you're passionate about living your personal journey, you can overcome any obstacle with the grace of a ballet dancer. It just happens because you're so enthralled with the story of your life and you're so engrossed in the movie that you're making. You're not self-absorbed in a narcissistic way. It's the opposite. You're so thrilled to get to be you.
And it seems like so many of us miss that in life, that it comes to sort of the end of life. And it seems like that's when people start to really sort of get it, like, oh, my goodness. And I think it's such an important thing for us to get now, because especially for when you look at people who are passionate about something, that it was something that maybe seemed crazy to the quote-unquote normal world at the time, and it ended up bettering people's lives. It ended up changing history. It revolutionized society as we know it, and it's such an important thing, I think, to allow ourselves to be those dreamers and that sort of thing. And Doris, one of the things you were saying was about this idea of, in terms of our authentic selves, of tapping into our true purpose. And I think I know, even just from some friends of mine, they say, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't even begin to know how to figure out what that is. What advice would you offer up for people who feel like they just have no idea what their life purpose is, to begin to start to look at some, like you had mentioned earlier, about clues of things that maybe came up earlier in life and that sort of thing? What would you advise them to do to find their life purpose?
What do you do well? What do you like to do? Who do you like to work with? Who do you like to be around? When people describe you, what do they say about you? Come up with 3 or 4 adjectives that are very consistent that people say about you. When you start putting clues like this together, you start having a picture emerge. You start moving into what is truly unique and special about you. What can you do that other people can't do? And what does that have to do with what you're here to do? It's really not rocket science. It's just being willing to look at it. And I think some of that is fear of being who we honestly can be. It's fear of owning our personal power. Because when we get to a point where we say, oops, I'm clear, this is what I came here to do, we are in total self-responsibility. We don't blame anyone else. We can't hide from ourselves anymore. So that's normal. And it's a step, and so when that comes up, we can go, okay, well, I wonder if Rosa Parks or Gloria Steinem or Gandhi or Cesar Chavez had settled, for a mediocre existence of blending into the crowd. What would the world have lost? And then we can just get real clear about a question for us. I wonder what the world will lose if I don't own my greatness.
Wow. Wow. I think for some people that will be very empowering, and for other people that will be a very scary question.
It's okay. I think there's a place where it's scary for all of us. I think admitting that it's scary is so healthy. Because that means I can stop hiding behind blaming other people or the world or life, or, you know, I don't have brown hair or I don't have green fingernails or whatever our excuse is, to, you know, guess what? This is my journey. I can either own my power or not, and I can either miss out and cheat the world or not, but it becomes choice. It becomes conscious choice.
And I think that's such an excellent point, what you were talking about, Doris, about this idea of just even being honest, if it is fearful and that sort of thing. One thing I've noticed is that the people that I've encountered in my life around whom I'm completely and almost instantly at ease are people who are fully themselves, and they just own it, and they're very candid, and so you always know sort of where you stand, and you know if there's any issue that comes up that they're going to do it, and in a very kind, polite way, and say, hey, this came up, let's talk about this and that sort of thing. The people who tend, for me, where I feel more uneasy around are people who are more kind of hesitant and maybe not as forthcoming. And so I think that there's a lot to be said just about the beauty in terms of authenticity and just being honest about expressing our feelings. Because I think that sometimes people feel shameful about admitting their feelings, whether it be about the question you just mentioned about what would the world lose without me owning my greatness or whatever it is. I think that there's this stigma around emotions, and I'd love to have you speak a little bit about that, because we live in a society now that's very highly medicated as an attempt to sort of manage emotions, and maybe you could share with us the significance of emotions and how to use those for us.
Right. Okay. I also want to refer you to a website where you can look at 90 minutes about emotions.
Okay.
And that's really important because this is a massive topic. And that's the www.coachingbydoris.com/, and then it's kind of long, but it's worth it. And that is IACTPIP webinar. And we really get into exactly what you're saying, emotional intelligence versus using emotions to become the authentic person that you came here to be. I mean, it's step by step in that. So that's coachingbydoris.com/IACTPIP webinar. I didn't know you were going to ask that question, but I'm thrilled that you did. And the reason I'm thrilled is because it's such a big topic on this earth. Because as you said, you know, people are being medicated so they don't feel what is one of the most authentic ways of sensing our environment. Our brains were created very specifically to have emotions be a tool for living fully. We're sentient beings. We are supposed to feel. We're supposed to have all kinds of emotions every day, and they're an incredible tool. Once you know how to use them, it's also related to how you never feel like a victim again when you start playing with these concepts. Because so many people right now feel victimized by their normal fear or anxiety or anger. There's no bad emotion. There's no such thing as a negative emotion. They're all just energy in motion. The only thing that's bad, wrong, or evil is when we don't know how to use them appropriately. When we do, though, they're a powerhouse of owning your special abilities and becoming fully the being that you came here to be. And, you know, your DNA uniquely qualifies you and only you to deliver a very stunning gift to the world. Your emotions are part of the powerhouse of doing that. They're part of your genetic design. What happens with most people is they try to avoid the negative emotions because they don't realize that when you squelch negative emotions, you also suppress the ability to feel your highest highs.
Hmm.
So you wonder why people who are medicated inappropriately. You wonder why people who walk around kind of like the walking dead when they're not really feeling much of anything. It's because they don't understand the mechanics of emotions. They don't know how to use them, and they don't understand how to use them in a way that is not only good for them and their personal development, but it's actually quite good for the entire planet. I could go on for hours about that, but I'll just refer you to the webinar.
Well,
there's a lot there.
One of the things, Doris, is that what I've seen happen with people, and what I did, I guess, before I realized that emotions could be my friend, not sort of foe, was that that there was a lot of judgment attached to feeling angry or feeling guilty or feeling resentful or that sort of thing. What advice would you offer up for people? Because I think that's sometimes why people just want to medicate them, because it just they feel like they don't know how to handle them, or there's a tremendous amount of self-judgment that comes with those emotions.
Again, let's go back to social programming. You know, you are a baby. You cry, you laugh, you cry, you laugh. And you go through all the emotions really quickly. Babies have never been socialized to think there's such a thing as a bad emotion, so they don't get stuck in any emotional phase. As adults, you've been programmed by so many people as you were growing up to think there are good emotions and there are bad emotions, that instead of just flipping through them real, real quickly like babies do, we get stuck. We repress, we deny, we don't want other people to see us angry or sad or whatever, or fearful. That's one that we all tend to resist. And so we've lost our awareness of how easy all of these emotions transform once you just feel them. You don't have to act on any of them. In fact, neurochemically, we're set up and hardwired where each emotion really is going to last about 90 seconds.
Wow.
I know. It's so much fun to play with this.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. But see, it's the programming that slows it all down.
Oh, my gosh.
They're just an incredible powerhouse of energy. And you know human beings are strictly energy.
Right.
So scientists like Candace Pert have studied emotions, and they found that it's all just energy in motion. And when you learn how not to stop it, it just flows.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my goodness, Doris. Now I have about 20 more questions for you, and we have just a couple minutes. So I'll ask one more question, and then we'll start to wrap things up. Really quickly, because I think sometimes people get confused, what's the difference between fear and intuition, and how can we discern when it's our intuition versus just general fear?
Okay, general fear is just what you said. It's generalized. It may be anxiety, which hangs on. And fear is related to fight or flight when it's not generalized anxiety. So it's very functional.
So it's more of a calm.
I wish we had more time. We could go on for hours. I'll tell you a real quick thing.
Okay.
The average person is still waking up 17 times a night, according to research, looking for the saber-toothed tiger. They
wow.
don't see it because it doesn't exist anymore, and so they don't remember the next morning that they woke up looking for the saber-toothed tiger 17 times a night. Sleep studies over and over validate this. So fear is programmed into the reptilian part of the brain, and we're still hardwired like cave people in that respect. When we just understand it, and we know we're not going to get rid of it because it's part of our brain system, then we go, okay, am I in fight or am I in flight? And there's some concrete tools we could explore that I can show you how to really quickly move through that once you develop that level of awareness. So none of that is intuition, okay? Intuition is different. Intuition is in the moment. You don't go and say, I'm ready to get an intuitive clue right now. You receive an intuitive clue.
Right.
Okay, it's very different. So if you feel fear and it's intuitive out of the blue, it's not generalized, it's not a fight or flight thing, it's instead just, oh, this is a clue I'm getting. There may be the bus coming and it's time for me to move out the middle of the street. That's a beautiful fear. It's awesome. Or maybe I get afraid that I'll make a fool out of myself when I'm making a presentation and a work performance tomorrow, and I go, well, that's easy. I can prepare better. You know, I can find out who's going to be there and do a better job, or maybe I'm afraid I'll be late, I can leave on time. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways just to deal with fear in a real functional way.
Okay.
Intuition, though, is this awesome, awesome gift, and I'm sensing that our time's up, so I'll close down, but intuition's very different.
Okay, well, we'll definitely have to have you back to share more with us, because I feel like we're just getting to the heart of the subject. Doris, we have about a minute left, and with two things really quickly, you've got so many great things on your website. Please just give us a quick overview of things you'd definitely like for us to check out. And then just also a personal mantra or message that you'd like to leave with our listening audience this night tonight that might be of particular significance for you.
Okay. If you have any conflicts with people in a personal or a professional realm, I encourage you to go to www.coachingbydoris.com/empowermeteleclass. It's a free opportunity to get a lot of answers about conflicts with other people, about difficult conversations, about gender communication barriers, things of that nature. So that one's a lot of fun and it's free. As far as what to leave you with, though, I mean, you have a very special genetic design. So every single day, notice what's special about you. What are your special abilities? Write down at least three things every single day that you value about yourself. Notice over time that you will more and more become the hero of your own life. You'll start sharing your authentic self with other people, and the world will spontaneously feel so much more supportive. You'll attract people who are really, truly interested in you and appreciate you for who you are because you first noticed it yourself. And that's the way it starts.
Hey, that's a very valid point. I like that. I like that. My gosh, Doris, I wish we had a couple more hours with you. This has gone by so quickly, and you're just such a delight, and thank you so much for bringing such excellent wisdom to us this evening. My goodness, I feel like I was in a class, so thank you for everything that you shared tonight. You just have such a beautiful energy and so much insight, and I love that you keep things playful and fun and encourage us to be curious and explore ourselves and explore life. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for being here and doing your destiny.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Unique, Life Starring You. We were just here with Dr. Doris Helge. Please definitely check out all her information online, and we thank you again for joining us here on Unique.